Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, and I know I'm going home.
Reading from Psalm 119, verse 105 and 106. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it, that I will follow your righteous laws. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, December 10th, 2021. And I opened up with that passage because we're in day 13 of Advent, as we're plugging along, as they would say, getting closer to Christmas when we celebrate the Lord's birth. But many of us celebrate his return. And Jason, you've been preaching various messages on Advent in this time of year, and the word Advent, what it means, and recognizing for us that follow Jesus that, yes, we're celebrating his birth, but we're really anticipatory of his return. I mean, that's what we're looking forward to, him being the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and ruling as he deserves to rule. And so this is kind of a time that, yes, we celebrate his birth, but we really can't wait for him to return and start his new rule and reign. And so Advent season is upon us, a great time of year. In fact, the Singing Men of GNN, they'll be singing all about it a week from this Saturday on December 18th at 7 p.m. at the First Baptist Church of Champaign in Savoy. So right on Burwash Avenue, we'll have a great concert to God's glory, 7 p.m. December 18th. For 21 years, we held this at the food court at Marketplace Mall, but because of the governor's protocols and spacing and such, the mall said as much as they'd love to have us there, they're hoping next year things will be resolved and we'll be able to return there. So the great team at the First Baptist Church of Champaign in Savoy said, hey, we have great accommodations, big open seating area. How about hosting the concert at 7 p.m. on the 18th? And we said, great. So everyone that has seen the Singing Men of GNN, this will be a great Christmas concert, God-honoring music, and so we hope you'll come out. And it's a free concert, so that's on December 18th, Saturday, 7 p.m., First Baptist Church of Champaign in Savoy. So we're excited about that. The Singing Men have been practicing every Monday night, and so we got our Christmas selections all ready to be sung. And then the Great News Radio Center at Marketplace Mall, almost all complete. Jim Gunther the other day hang these really decorative globe lights that match with the carpet, and we centered everything with our couches and have our workstation set up. The studio is in the process of being wired. It's all in place, but we need it wired and the headphones and the microphones all set up. And just a couple other things moved around and organized, and maybe a few pictures hung, and it'll be operational. And then we're waiting for our Great News Media sign to be manufactured and installed, and I'm hearing that it's going to be probably mid to later January. So our grand opening will probably be at the end of January or early February, but I'm waiting for that Great News Media sign to be in place, because when that's lit up at night, it'll be eye-catching and it'll be just really fun for everyone to see it right there at Marketplace Mall, and I think it'll be a testimony to the ministry work that's going on. So making great headway, appreciate all the efforts. I think Jim Gunther said he spent 40-plus hours with manufacturing our countertop in the studio area and doing some electrical and setup, and the other day was putting in shelving in the back kitchen area and a lot of different doodads, doorstops. I mean, he's doing all the, like, my wish list of 18 things, and he keeps checking them off, and I keep adding, but have kept him very busy and thankful of the whole team. And we're within about $1,000 of paying it all off in its entirety, from the storage to the electrical to the painting to all the facets. adding the carpet and some other things that we've done. And so we started at about $19,900, and we're down to just around $1,000 left to raise to have it all paid off in full. So thank you, God, for all the donors and people that are anticipating our Marketplace Mall studio setup to be used of Him in powerful ways, as I hope to reach a lot of the mall people and all the things that you and I have talked about, and where even Tasha said, oh, gosh, that's a busy area, high profile. You'll be able to, you know, minister to a lot of different people at the mall and the locals. So we're excited and moving forward, and hopefully in a week or two it'll be pretty fully operational, and then wait for our big sign to arrive and then have a grand opening. Now, hopefully the end of January, maybe early February, but that gives me time to meet with a lot of the mall people and see if I can get some great door prizes and gift giveaways. So when we have the grand opening, there'll be a bunch of fun stuff to give people. So thank you, God, for that, for this Advent season, for your passion for preaching and teaching. And we opened up with the Psalm 119, verses 105 and 106. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it that I will follow your righteous laws. How does that fit into our Advent season?
Well, it's very instructive for us. I actually want to start somewhere else, but I want us to keep Psalm 119, 105, and 106 kind of right there in front of us, because that truth is so important for us. You know, when we talk about Advent, the word Advent means essentially to wait. You know, Advent is about waiting. It's about anticipating. It's about moving towards the coming. Advent in Latin means towards the coming. And so as we move towards the coming, as we move towards something, we generally have to wait. We have to deal with our own frustrations as we wait. We have to deal with the fact that we are hardwired to want what we want right now. There's nothing more defining of our human flesh than fast food. You know, because we want food and we want it right now. I mean, just think about that. Our desire to have what we want right now has given birth to fast food, drive-thrus, the microwave oven, all of these kinds of things, because we just don't like to wait. You know, I think about sometimes when my wife is making an amazing meal, and my wife is all about it takes time to cook. You know what I mean? It goes in the pot and it simmers and it does that. But what I find myself doing as it's simmering is going up and lifting up the lid of the pot, sticking a spoon in there sometimes and just taking a little taste. Why? Because I can't wait. I just struggle with waiting. That's the reason why when you're making a cake, you're trying to lick the frosting out of the bowl instead of waiting until you can have a slice of cake, because you just have trouble waiting. I remember a long time ago, I read A.W. Tozer's book on the pursuit of God. And in there, he makes this observation, and he says, it's doubtful whether God can bless a man greatly until he has hurt him deeply. And what Tozer's really trying to say in that quote is not that God likes, you know, hurting people, that God loves watching people suffer, but that in order for God to bless people with the things that God is doing, because God is all about the slow cooker. You know, God is all about it takes time for this to happen. I mean, just think about the whole of the Old Testament, 39 books it took for us to get to Jesus. Why? Because God was intentionally and slowly weaving in all of the things that were going to be needed so that when Jesus came, they would have the fullest opportunity and chance to be able to understand and embrace what God had sent to them. And so all throughout the whole Old Testament, we see this sense of waiting. And as they're waiting and wondering and watching, they're bobbing and weaving and falling into sin and being redeemed and falling into sin and being redeemed. And so they're constantly struggling as they're moving towards that. And Isaiah chapter 9 is a great place for that. It's kind of one of our classic places that we go to for Christmas. You know, verses 9-6, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government shall rest upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and his government and its peace will never end. And we read that and we're like, yes, that's about Jesus. But the problem is, to get to Jesus, we have to also deal with us. And that's actually what Isaiah chapter 8 and 9 do before we get to that verse. You know, and so we famously kind of move a little earlier in Isaiah 9, and we see the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in the land of deep darkness, a light will shine. And we're like, okay, that's the promise that precludes verse 6, for unto us a child is born. But we need to actually go a little before that. into chapter 8. And in chapter 8, beginning in verse 11, it says, a call to trust the Lord. That's what my Bible uses as its subtitle. Hmm. And it says this, the Lord has given me a strong warning not to think like everyone else does. So here, the prophet Isaiah, the Lord gives him a strong sense, a strong warning that he needs to live to a different standard. He needs to live to a different way. He needs to point and orientate himself in the right direction. Why? Because in the midst of waiting, if you are pointed in the wrong direction, you will go the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything in waiting makes you want something to come quicker. So you'll manufacture things, you'll create things, you'll run ahead to see if you can get to it faster, and God will be like, hey, we're back here. Come back here.
Yeah.
So the Lord gives Isaiah this strong warning not to think like everyone else. And then it says in verse 12, don't call everything a conspiracy like they do. He says, don't look around and try and manufacture stories about what's happening around you. That's what everyone else is doing. You already know the story because you know God's story. And because you know God's story, you live confidently out of that story. And that story isn't a story just for right now. That story is a story that actually transcends the waiting, because it already tells us what the future is going to be like. It's going to be glorious. There'll be no need for the sun and the moon and the stars, because the sun will be the light in which we live in, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, Revelation chapter 22. And so the Lord's call, his strong warning to Isaiah is don't live like that. Don't call everything a conspiracy. You know, one of the worst things that I think happens, Mark, is in the absence of information, our imagination gets really active.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so we start to create all kinds of reasons why things are the way they are and why things are happening. You know, again, I don't even have to, like, look hard for these things. I just look in my marriage. You know, if my wife is in the kitchen and she's working around and she's doing a bunch of work and all that stuff, and she's being real quiet, the first thing I think is, like, is everything okay? Did I do something wrong? Is everything all right? And I'll even say that. I'll be like, hey, you know, is everything okay? And she'll be like, yeah, I'm just busy. You know, like when you're busy and you don't want to talk.
No.
I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, you know. But, I mean, that's what we do. In the absence of information, we begin to create things with our imagination. And so then the Lord goes on to, when he speaks to Isaiah in verse 13, and he says, make the Lord of heaven's armies holy in your life. He says, understand that in the midst of waiting and all the difficulties that are happening, that my army of hope resides with you. And then he goes on to say, he is the one who should make you tremble. He will keep you safe. And see, because in the midst of waiting, what is the worst thing that happens? Is we feel unsafe. We feel unsettled. We don't know how it's going to go. We don't understand. Now, listen, we have the benefit of understanding that as we move through this season of Advent, that we're celebrating the coming of Jesus Christ. And so we're like, yeah, he's already come. I mean, what do you mean? I don't have any problem moving through Advent because I know Jesus has come. Well, that's because as a Christian, we tend to look at Advent now in the wrong way. And I'm actually going to talk a whole lot about this on Sunday morning, but we tend to look at Advent in light of his first Advent and not the second. Because the second Advent should be slightly unsettling. When's he going to return? When's he going to come? It says it'll be imminent and yet unknown. And yet I want to know, because if I want to know the times and the dates and the places and all that. I'm just like the disciples are in Acts chapter 1. Like, I want to know everything so then I can know everything, so I can feel okay about everything. And when people ask me questions, I can have answers.
Hmm.
But we don't have those, so we're unsettled, because the Bible says, listen, I'm going to keep you safe. I'm going to keep you secure. That's what God is saying to Isaiah. And then he goes on to say, but to Israel and Judah, so he's talking to those people who live differently, he says, he will be a stone that makes the people stumble. What's fascinating is we love to go to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, and say, there's Jesus. But actually, in verse 14 of Isaiah 8, the stone to stumble we know is Jesus.
Hmm.
A stone that will reveal all the things about us that cause us to stumble. It's not that Jesus himself will cause us to stumble, but at the revelation of Jesus, all that isn't holy and good about us comes out. You know, I always say to people, if you want to know what somebody's really like, just put them under some pressure, squeeze them a little bit, and all that stuff comes out. You want to know if that toothpaste inside is the minty one or the white one? You want to know what it is? Just squeeze it. And so that's what happens. And so the stone of stumbling, the one who will show all the ways that I'm going to stumble today, tomorrow, and in this season of waiting, the revelation of Jesus. That's the reason why sometimes we take our eyes off of Jesus, because we know that all those things will come to the forefront. all the ways that we're not living for him, all the ways that during our waiting, we're trying to create our own paths, we're trying to create our own narratives. Our imagination is working in overdrive because we just want to know the answer. And then God says in verse 15, many will stumble, many will fall. He says, listen, there's a lot of problems, and many will stumble, and many will fall. And he ends Isaiah chapter 8, and he says this, look to God's instructions and teaching. People who contradict his word are completely in the dark. They will go from one place to another weary and hungry. And because they are hungry, they will rage and curse their king and their God. They will look up to heaven and look down at the earth. But wherever they look, there will be trouble and anguish and dark despair. They will be thrown out into darkness. So this is how Isaiah chapter 8 ends. Isaiah chapter 8 ends saying, listen, the people who live this way, this is what it's going to be like. By the way, it's fascinating that when we look into the godless kind of world that we live in right now, that's exactly how it is.
Yeah.
Anguish and frustration and weariness and all of these things, rage and cursing and all of these things. But then we move into Isaiah chapter 9, and it says, the people walking in darkness will see a great light.
Hmm.
The light will rise upon them. Which brings me to Psalm 119. It says, your word is a lamp to guide my feet. Now, listen, you don't need a lamp unless you're walking in the dark. If you're walking in the daylight, you don't need a lamp. You need a lamp because you're walking in the dark. You need a lamp because you can't see everything that's in front of you. That's Advent. That's waiting. That's wondering. That's not knowing. You need a lamp because you're walking into somewhere that you don't know, and you don't want to stumble, and you don't want to fall, and you don't want to trip. And so the Bible is saying here in Psalm 119:105, that we need God's word as the lamp to light our way, because we are walking in darkness. We are walking in waiting, and we are wondering. And it says that it's a light for your path, which means that you'll be less likely to stumble. Now, I still think you're going to stumble because sometimes we take our eyes off of the light. We take our eyes and our ears out of the word. But we're less likely to stumble when we are in the word, as we're waiting and wondering. And then what I really love is the next verse. Now, I'm using the New Living Translation, but it says in verse 106, I've promised it once, and I'll promise it again.
Hmm.
See, what we say to ourselves matters, because nobody talks to you, Mark, more than you. Nobody talks to me more than me. I say more words to myself than I will ever say to anybody else, which is amazing, because as a preacher, I say a lot of words. But nobody talks to you more than you. And what this verse is saying here is it's saying that you need to continually remind yourself in the season of waiting, wondering, and following God that the word is a lamp to guide my feet, that it is a light for my path. The word is a lamp for my feet. It is a guide to my path. It will guide me. You will guide me. I will trust you. I will put my faith in you. I will not operate like the rest of the world does in the walking and the waiting and the weariness that comes with that. I will not allow my imagination to run wild. I will allow it to be constrained by the word of God and guided by the word of God. That's what the Bible tells me later on that I need to do, taking every thought captive and bringing it to the word of God and seeing if it matches up. And if it doesn't, then that's my faulty, stinking thinking. That's not what the word of God says.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was thinking when you mentioned the anticipation of the second advent and it being unsettling, and I circled the word unsettling because I was thinking how many of us are living in anticipation of his return. So if we knew it was going to be in 2 weeks or 2 months or in 2 years, how would we live differently today? And it's, again, it's that unsettling, because many of us, and I'll just speak for myself, do I really live anticipatory or knowing that he could return very soon? And if I really believe that, which I do, am I living it? Is it exhibited in my choices and the things I'm doing, the priorities that I've put into place? So I was just thinking when I wrote unsettling, gosh, it is unsettling when I think about how lacking I am in properly living for his glory in all circumstances.
Yeah, Francis Chan had a great example. He said that years and years ago, his whole family went to, at Christmas time, to go see the Nutcracker. And he said that there's this grandmother in their family who is just so faithful. It's his wife's great-grandmother. And she is so faithful. She's like 90-something years old. And he said that the production of the Nutcracker was amazing. And he said they're watching it, and they're like just in awe of all the sets and the costumes. And he says during the intermission, he leaned over to the grandmother, and he said, Grandma, isn't this amazing? And she goes, yeah, it's pretty good. And he said, I was kind of like, wow. She just said, it's only pretty good. And he said, is everything okay? And she goes, yeah. She goes, I just always think, is this where I'd want Jesus to find me when he returns?
Hmm.
And Francis Chan said it wasn't about that she shouldn't have been there. It wasn't about that it was sinful that she was there. He said, for me, it was just so beautiful that she actually considered Jesus' return, not just in one part of her life, but in every part of her life. And do we do that, to your point? Do we really think about Jesus could return? He could descend right now. And all that waiting and wondering and watching would suddenly be done. But what did we do in that season of waiting, wondering, and watching?
Mm-hmm.
Because that matters.
Yeah, and I like how we began with Psalm 119, which you wouldn't tend to think of as a part of Advent, but the fact is, your word is a lamp to my feet. Are we reading God's word? Are we saturating our minds and hearts with spiritual topics, thoughts, his revealed truth to us through the scriptures? You know, it will be a light for our path. We need direction. We need guidance. I have taken an oath and confirmed it that I will follow your righteous laws. Well, you need to know what the laws are, and that's by reading his word. That's by attending church and hearing the proclamation or the word being divided. We need each other to kind of fine-tune, or what do you think about this passage, or what do you think about this? And so kind of a team effort, but that unsettling, are we living today as if Jesus could return? And, you know, that's the healthy conviction. That's that tension. It's like, Lord, order my steps today. Help me be receptive. Help me be attentive. Help me proclaim your good news message. And I think there's also that element, Lord, thank you for creating this day that I can get to enjoy and see your handiwork and meet with people and taste good foods and enjoy fellowship. There's kind of that balance of having fun and enjoying life because he's created us to see his handiwork and experience his goodness, and yet also that tension, we're in a sin-fallen, hurting world, and you know, we have a role to be refined and developed and to model Christ, and that's not always easy either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so, well, day 13 of Advent, may it be a special time of year for you. Look for those opportunities, pray for them, where you can subtly, or maybe just in a kind way, help somebody or assist and let them know that you follow Jesus and you're just trying to model the things that he's shown or revealed to you, to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. I think that's a good recipe for us all. All right, everyone. Well, the weekend's ahead of us. Safe travels as you may be visiting relatives or friends or family members or going shopping. But don't be all consumed by the world. Spend these times as we think of Advent just loving on the Lord, being open to his leading and the many blessings he wants to pour into you so that you can bless others. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day, night, and weekend.